Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Today, we continue in our study through the Simple Gospel, Simple Grace study guide. We'll be picking up on page 21, the test. As always, during our study editions, the phone lines are not open so that everyone can listen and participate in the study. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. And now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We are going to pick up on page 21, as you said, and we're in the middle of chapter 3. The title of that chapter is The Essence of Faith. So God's plan for each and every one of us is a plan that is carried out by grace through faith in Jesus. Right. So we spent some time talking about the grace of God in the first couple of lessons, what that looks like. We've defined the grace of God as God's work in Jesus Christ to make us fully alive in Him and to empower us to live as children of God in this world of darkness. That's how we've defined grace. It's God's unmerited favor that's been bestowed upon us in Jesus. So we're alive because of the grace of God. And that happens through faith. So this particular chapter, we're taking a look at faith. And we're starting with Abraham because, as Paul wrote in Romans 4, he is the father of faith to Jew and Gentile, for Jew and Gentile. So the key chapters in Abraham's story are Genesis 12, Genesis 15, and then Genesis 22. So in Genesis 12, God just shows up in Abram's life, and he brings to Abram blessings and promises. So he had four particular promises, and those promises had to deal with blessings that were going to come into Abraham's life. I think that is very significant, very profound. When God shows up in our lives, what does he bring us? Blessings and promises, all fulfilled in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So we think of God as this judgmental, angry old being that is just ready to hammer us with punishment. And yet when we see him showing up in people's lives, we see exactly the opposite. We Right. see grace in action. And that's what we saw in the story of Abraham. So how did Abraham respond? By faith. We see in Genesis 15, you know, Abraham had a concern that, wait a minute, I don't have an heir. I don't have a proper heir. You know, right now it's just this servant boy that lives in our house. I need a real heir. And so God made a promise, you know, through your seed, the world is going to be blessed. You're going to have a son. And to that promise, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And sure enough, God delivered on that promise. We see in Genesis 21 that God actually delivered and gave Abraham and Sarah a child, and they named that child Isaac. Right. He was the son of promise. Well, now we're going to pick up in Genesis 22, and we're going to look at the test. So there was this test, and if you read the very first verse of Genesis 22, it says this: sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham," and Abraham replied, "Here I am." So that's how this particular chapter starts, and we're just going to work our way through what happened here in Genesis 22. It's a significant chapter. It's a chapter that Paul and James and the writer of Hebrews all talk about in their various letters in the New Testament. So these New Testament writers are going to tie this story to our faith in Jesus Christ. Now, it's interesting. Genesis 22 is one of those strange chapters in the Bible. Most of us as Christians just read it and think, wow, Abraham was really this man of obedience and faith and just a giant, you know, as far as faith is concerned. We want to be like him. But when you just read it, just strip away, you know, kind of all the Christianese and the church ideas about this story and just read it for what it is, it's very startling and alarming. And I had the opportunity to read it to a group of guys a number of years ago in a small group Bible study, And for the most part, this was the first time that these men had ever heard this story. And so we go through all of Genesis 22, and as I came to the end of it, John, my buddy, he chimed in first, and he said, man, that Abraham was a nutcase. I mean, just absolutely crazy. And then another friend, Tom, chimed in and said, yeah, he should be committed to an insane asylum. And that's what would have happened to Abraham if the story had happened today.
Yes, indeed.
As a matter of fact, at that time that I read this story to these men, one of the headline news stories was of a lady that was on trial for drowning her children. And when asked why she did it, she said, I heard a voice from heaven telling me to drown my child. Well, think of that as we start this story in Genesis 22. So let me just read the first two verses or the first three verses, and then we'll ask some questions about what God was doing with Abraham and with Isaac. So verse 2 of Genesis 22, we read this. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain that I will show you. So that's how this test begins. Take Isaac, your only son, the son whom you love, and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on a mountain. That's the test. So early the next morning, Genesis 22:3, early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. So there's the test. There's the beginning of this story. So God had said to Abraham, you're going to have a son. And when Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90, he delivered on that promise. Sarah gave birth to Isaac, the son of promise. Now, about Isaac, he said to Abraham, through that seed, the world is going to be blessed. So God had promised a blessing to the world through Isaac. Now, here in Genesis 22, he says, take that son and kill him. Put him up on an altar, take a knife, stab him in the heart, sacrifice him, and then burn him up. And here it says Abraham got up and loaded his donkey and was going to take off and do it. And it's kind of interesting. There's not a lot of detail. You have to think, what in the world was going on in Abraham's mind?
Oh, just torture.
I know, absolute torture. Did he have any questions of God? You know, what are you thinking, God? Yeah. You've already said this is the son of promise. The world's going to be blessed through him. Now, how is this going to work if you have me sacrifice him? I don't get it. It's not making sense to me. But yet, we don't hear any of those questions. We don't get a sense of the torture and the feelings that Abraham might have been feeling. You think, how am I going to tell Sarah? What's she going to think? And how am I going to tell Isaac about what's going to happen? What's he going to think? So there's lots of questions unanswered in the story. It's kind of like Walter Cronkite just sitting in at the desk saying, and this is the story. God, you know, he just delivers it with a stoic nature, and that's it. But there's got to be more going on. But Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son. So let's ask a couple of stories. So what did God tell Abraham to do with Isaac? To sacrifice him. Well, what exactly did that mean? Well, it meant that Abraham was going to take him. He was going to put him on an altar. He was going to thrust a knife down in him, and then he was going to burn him as a sacrifice. That's what Abraham was going to do. Now, what if you, as a parent, were told to do that? Could you do it? Would you do it? And I'm sure the answer would be no on both fronts. But that's exactly what God asked Abraham to do. So what was Abraham's response? Well, he got up the next morning, loaded his donkey, and set out for the place God had told him about. That was Abraham's response. And oftentimes we look at this story, and I've heard Bible teachers and preachers preach on this event, and they really exalt the obedience of Abraham, the instantaneous obedience, you know, that he just did what God told him. And that's how we should be. Boy, we shouldn't question God. We shouldn't, we shouldn't raise our hands and say, well, wait a minute, what is this going to look like? And you know, how is this going to work itself out? We should just immediately do exactly what God has told us to do. Just put our minds on the shelf and have this blind obedience. But I don't think that's what the story really relates. Is all about.
Yeah.
I think there's more to it. To that. Yeah. So let's put ourselves in Abraham's shoes. How do you think you would have responded to God's command to sacrifice Isaac? I think about my son Coleman, who works with us, and he's on the other side of the glass today. It would be a very difficult thing to do to with Coleman what God asked Abraham to do with Isaac.
Yeah.
Just an incredible thing. So what do you think was going through Abraham's mind? It doesn't tell us, but I'm sure there was all kinds of fears and doubts and questions and wonders and, Lord, how could you do this to me? How could you do this to Isaac? I'm sure there was all sorts of things that were happening there. So that's kind of the story as we read it in Genesis 22. Now, what do the New Testament writers say about this story? And in Romans 4, 17, Paul wrote about Abraham, and we're going to ask the question, what specifically did he say that God could do? So in Romans 4:17, we read this, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. So Paul is talking about Abraham, and he's talking about the fact that he believed in God, and that he believed in God, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. So we see that last part taking place as far as Isaac was concerned. Isaac's birth was an impossibility, humanly speaking. But God called something into existence that was not. And he's also going to show that he's the God who gives life to the dead through this story in Genesis 22. You don't see the word resurrection in Genesis 22 at all, but the fingerprints of resurrection are all over it, yeah, as far as the New Testament writers were concerned. Now, the writer of Hebrews talks about this story as well. And this is what he had to say. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. So in spite of the promise, in the face of that promise that through Isaac, your offspring the blessings will come to the world. In the face of that promise, he was willing to sacrifice his son. So Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, and so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. So how does the writer of Hebrews couch this story? What is the significant part of it? That Abraham believed God could even raise the dead. We don't see it when we read Genesis 22, right, but that's the explanation. That's the explanation that the Holy Spirit inspired the writers of the New Testament to reveal to us, that in Abraham's mind, he reasoned that God could raise Isaac from the dead.
Yeah.
He could bring him back to life. And that's what faith is all about. Mm-hmm. That's the story of our faith in God, that God gave life to Jesus. God raised him from the dead. Without that resurrection, there is no faith. And if we believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, then we can also believe that God can raise us from our spiritual death. That's the story of the gospel. So here the writer of Hebrews simply says that Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death.
Yeah.
Talk about good news. Can you imagine what Abraham felt at that moment? Well, we're going to get into that in just a second.
Well, friends, I'm Bob Davis here with Bob Christopher, and of course you're listening to the Basic Gospel Friday series through the Simple Gospel Simply Grace Study Guide, available each week. Of course, the study notes, you can find those at basicgospel.net/teaching. Of course, the notes are updated every week, and you can go there now, as a matter of fact, basicgospel.net/teaching, and download those study notes. You can also order your copy of the study guide and Bob's book by the same name, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, from that particular website, basicgospel.net/teaching. Now, friends, we have a gift for you when you sign up for ministry emails. It's our ebook, Forgiveness, The Door to Life, a powerful resource to set you on the path of joy and freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can get your free electronic copy today by clicking subscribe on any page at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Well, again, it's our study, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Hope you have your copy of the guide. And again, if you don't, you can get one today. You can order it today at basicgospel.net/teaching. Okay, back to our study now, and again, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, so we've looked at the test. What did God say to Abraham? Take your son. Abraham said, okay, loaded up the donkey, and off to Mount Moriah he went. It was a three-day journey, and I can imagine, the thoughts that must have gone through Abraham's mind during that three-day journey, and even in Isaac's mind. He had seen sacrifice before, and he knew they were going to Mount Moriah to make a sacrifice. And I'm sure Isaac's thinking, well, where's the sacrifice?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see a lamb. I don't see a ram. I don't see anything that we've sacrificed in the past. What's going to be sacrificed here and now? So we've looked at the test. Now let's take a look at the moment. That moment of reality as far as Abraham was concerned. So after a three-day journey, Abraham and Isaac arrived at Mount Moriah, the place of sacrifice. Now the day had come. It was time for Abraham to do what God had ordered. So in Genesis 22:10, we read this, "Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son." So he had probably grabbed Isaac by the shoulder, and he put him up on the altar that he had built. He probably strapped him in, tied him to the altar in some way. And then he took his hand, he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Now imagine that moment. He raises the knife up and he is about to thrust it into the heart of the son whom he loved, Isaac, the son of promise. Let me ask you, could you do it? Let me ask you this. What would be going through your mind? What would be going through Isaac's mind? Oh, it is a brutal scene, isn't it? This scene of sacrifice. And it just gets me inside just to think of that moment. I remember when my dad passed away, and he had gotten up early in the morning and walked out of the bedroom into the hallway, and he just keeled over, and he hit the side wall of the hall, and he just fell straight to the floor. Well, my mom heard this thud, and she gets up and comes out, and she looks down, and she knows he's gone. And I just can't imagine what went through her mind at that moment. And the same applies here. What was going through Abraham's mind at that very moment? This is such a critical moment in the history of Christianity, because at this moment, I think the essence of faith just springs forth in amazing splendor, what it really is all about. So here's how I picture it. Here's how I picture this moment taking place, and how Abraham brought himself to that place where he could actually reach out his hand and take the knife to slay his son. So as Genesis 22 records, the journey was a three-day journey. So from where he was in Beersheba to Mount Moriah, and Mount Moriah is in the heart of Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. It's where the Temple Mount is today.
Right. Yeah.
It's where Solomon built the temple. It was the land that David bought for that very purpose. It's a piece of land today that is under high tension. There's a lot of conflict over that, and probably over the place where Abraham was sacrificed stands the Dome of the Rock,
right.
The Muslim mosque and shrine.
Yeah.
So that's where we're talking about. That's Mount Moriah. And it was a three-day journey to this place. And as the writer of Hebrews says, Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, could bring life back to the dead. So somewhere in this three-day journey, that thought started to percolate in his mind. He started thinking, is it possible? Now, he had already seen God explode his faith with the birth of Isaac.
Yeah.
You know, that was an impossibility as far as Abraham was concerned. He had never seen anything like that before. Never even dreamed that something like that could happen, but God said it was going to happen, and he delivered on that promise. So Abraham was getting the picture. This God knows what he's talking about and has the power to bring about his promises.
Yeah.
So if he said that Abraham is that through Isaac the world is going to be blessed, then obviously God has the power, even over death, to make that happen. And so this thought begins to grow in his mind. It begins to expand. And he's starting to think that, yes, God can bring him back to life. Why else would he sacrifice him? Why else would he reach out his hand and take the knife unless he fully believed that God was able to bring Isaac back to life?
Right.
I think that's what happened. And I think that's what brought him to the point and gave him the confidence and the assurance that God was going to work this out together for good, that the promise would continue to stand and it would flow through Isaac. Even if Abraham had to take his life, God could bring him back from the dead. Well, what does this foreshadow? What does this picture? It pictures the very person and work of Jesus Christ.
Sure.
Abraham had a son whom he loved. God had a son whom he loved, Jesus, the beloved one. And he sent Jesus. And Jesus took on himself flesh and blood. And he, at the end of his life, he took upon himself sin. And he stood in our shoes. And he took the punishment for us. And a sacrifice was made. Jesus bled and died. And God delivered on his promise to raise him back to life. And it's through that resurrection that we are blessed people today. So what does faith believe? Faith believes that God has the power to give life to the dead. If it doesn't believe that, how would we ever put our faith in God to raise us from the dead spiritually? That is the good news story. That's what this gospel is all about, that out of death can come resurrected life.
Right.
That's what Abraham learned about God, and that's what we see is true about God in the gospel story, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus. What does faith say? God gives life to the dead. That's good news.
That is good news. That's basic gospel stuff.
Yes, it is basic gospel stuff.
Well, friends, we're glad that you've joined us for this study, the study edition of Basic Gospel. Keep in mind that the Simple Gospel Simply Grace Study Guide and the weekly study notes are available at basicgospel.net/teaching. Again, that's basicgospel.net/teaching. You can order your copy of the full book by Bob Christopher's Simple Gospel Simply Grace at that particular study guide at that particular website itself, basicgospel.net/teaching. A reminder, too, that Basic Gospel needs your help to keep the good news on the air. We ask you to join with us today by clicking Donate on our website, basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for being with us, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, who happens to be absent today, and for the Basic Gospel Ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be back with us again for a live edition of Basic Gospel on Monday. If you have a question or something you'd like to talk about, we'd love for you to be a part of the broadcast and give us a call. So we hope you'll be there, too. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.